Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I know you can't get enough of the cheat code. Might I suggest a Black Millennial Marriage Podcast? Hear Mikey and Randy discuss all their learning and unlearning and loving about marriage. Check out this week's episode where they will be discussing the cheat code. Cheat code and Black Millennial Marriage, part of the Domino Sound family. On the last episode of the cheat code.
That was my wife. You know, I didn't marry her to divorce her. I married her to grow old together. And that failure was abrupt.
I thought you were crazy, but I can see when I look back how you thought it was normal for her to go ahead and get in the car and come to Atlanta. I'm mad, but in the middle of this, I kind of want to have sex. So I text you some nasty shit.
She comes up to me with the phone and throws it at me. So my auntie starts taking off her earrings. I'm like, no, she has to leave. My auntie, my godmother, pulled me over and she said, baby.
Because I know your aunt.
Just go downstairs. She'll be up here. We'll worry about it in the morning. But don't kick her out right now, please. And I said, okay. And then the next 3 days were a blur. And we had the party. We had my grandma's 80th. And everybody, as Black people do, everybody acted like, and I can't even say just Black people, because I'm sure any family with, you know, ratchet issues goes through shit like right. This. Everyone act like it didn't happen. Except me, because I can't say that I said 17 words to her for the next 48 hours.
So meanwhile, back in New York, you texted me that night about what happened. And so I'm like, okay, so she's leaving. She's like, no, you shouldn't have left that night, but she's going to leave in the morning. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing pictures on Facebook, damn social media, where it's the next 3 days and she's in pictures and looking happy and posing with your aunties and blah, blah, blah.
I didn't post none of them shits.
No.
Like, you're not, because you have mutual, right. Because
I'm like, I don't understand what's happening right now. Because in my head, I couldn't stay. Even if they said it's okay, I as a person could not stay after that had happened. And I would have been like, fuck you, Jason. I'm not staying here. I'm leaving.
I understand that as well.
And so I'm going to go home and who knows what's going to be when we get home. But I'm not staying here to look in your face and I'm not staying here to look in your family's face. And so I am open mouthed, like my mouth is agape at the fact that not only did she stay, but it looks like nothing transpired.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the time when I realized, oh, I have now bought into a level of shit that I didn't realize that I bought into, because this person is in it for the long haul. And
meaning me?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Meaning your ex.
Yeah.
And the things that she is willing to put up with and bend herself into and deal with to stay, I don't know, I can't pretend to know why, but I'm like, she's at a level of pick me that I don't even get. So this is about to be competition. And I'm not sure that I'm ready for this. However, I do love a good competition. So game on. And so in between that and then, of course, you deciding that you're going to go ahead and leave your job and decide to practice becomes a whole year of just a whirlwind of
instability.
Of instability with you and I, of tension, of anger, of...
But I relied on you and you performed for me at every step of that. So you were crutch is not nearly a fair enough word. You were my anchor, but like my pendulum. Like you, I rode your energy and love and support between everything I was doing. You were helping me get to emotional spaces. You were helping me financially and not giving me money, but like, hey, you want to go out? Hey, I got it, babe. You know, because when I'm practicing, I didn't have the bread. I'm taking care of home, and I didn't have the bread to do the things that we were doing before anymore. You were extending a grace that I didn't deserve even. And I know that now. You were so big picture oriented, and I was so focused on fixing the thing, because that's how I felt. Like I felt like this is broken and I've got to fix it and then move forward from it. And I was so laser focused on that. Your ability to be you is what helped us transition, because me in that space, it would have failed. I wouldn't have been able to do what you were able to do for us. Hi, welcome to The Cheat Code. This is the story of an affair between one woman and one man, told over 10 episodes. Episode 8, Will You Wait For Me? Yeah.
Fuckery.
I was very, I thought that Andrea is going to meet somebody that deserves her time in a way that I don't right now. And she'd be right. And I'll step off and it would break my heart. But I thought that all the time. Like, yo, there's going to be somebody that realizes how brilliant Andrea is and is going to show her that they realize that. And she's going to deservedly move towards that.
That felt like you were either going to stay with your wife, because there were like three separate occasions between 2012 and 2013 where there was plans to move or go stay with your sister, go stay with your mother. And then it didn't work out because you thought better of it based on all the things you said as being a divorce lawyer and losing control of certain
and
things.
And I was scared.
What happened? We were scared. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much figured he's going to end up staying with his wife, or as happens to most women, I am the starter kit and you're going to leave your wife and we're not going to work out and you're going to end up happy with someone in a month after we don't work. Like literally that's like, I'm like, I'm going to end up preparing another dude to be with somebody else. And that's how I felt.
You would call a good man, but I wouldn't let that be good enough for me. I left the man I had at home trying to be with the man I had in the street, and in the end I lost both of them. Let me sing this song to you,
and maybe I will say understand. that year of 2012 into 2013, I was writing on the person that I saw in 2009, 10, and 11. The person that I looked at as like almost like my guardian angel. Like, I'm moving, I don't have, and as a friend, you provide. You listened. You were a friend even when you were my boyfriend. So my ex comes back and you don't immediately think of yourself. You think of what's best for me. Mm. You saw me in a way that I had not been seen in other relationships. It wasn't like I'm putting you on a pedestal and then when you become normal to me, I forget who you are. Because that's how I felt like the rest of my relationships went. It was like, I'm pursuing you. You are this person to me. And then I become like, first I'm a Ritz, now I'm a Saltine. And so it's like, now I'm mad normal and you forget who the hell I am. And you and I didn't have that. Even after months and years, it didn't seem to subside. Even when we argued, I still looked forward to seeing you, and I still felt like you looked forward to seeing me. I also was emotionally open and transparent and vulnerable in a way that I had never been. You've seen some of the best and the worst sides of me because you were emotionally available in a way I had never encountered in a man, much less a black. You were the first black man I ever met in therapy, like just for himself. And so
yeah,
I kind of understood some of the unicorn that I had met. And then there was, to be frank, the sex factor. Like, you and I had the best sex. And it was like, whether I'm mad, whether it's a Tuesday, whether it's rushed or what have you, it was like, this shit is bananas. And so that's something to consider. Because if a chick is orgasming on the regular, that's just not some shit you put to the side.
There's the bathwater and then there's the baby.
Right, because hello? And so, you know, and I had often heard like chicks staying with dudes because, you know, because of that and getting trapped up and whatever. And I was like, nah, that hasn't been my experience. My experience has been I've had good and decent sex. I'm not open enough. And I don't, and part of the thing that people don't talk about, you have to trust somebody as a woman. If you don't trust somebody to let yourself go, to feel beautiful in your skin when you're feeling fat, when you've got the stretch marks, when you know you didn't get the pedicure, if you don't trust that this person is not judging, looking for that shit, any of that, you're not able to have the kind of sexual encounter you want to have. Mm-hmm. And so some of the most mediocre sex I've had with other people, somebody's like, oh, you know, I heard he was good, because I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. And so I'm never going to let myself go. And you mad squeamish. And I'm an adult and I don't have time for that shit. And so I trusted you. And
yeah, I ain't squeamish.
No, that's a good thing. But it's also like, I am free to be myself and not feel judged. You know, and you were free to be yourself. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know what? If today mm-hmm. I feel like being depraved, you can be depraved in this safe space. Mm-hmm. If today I feel like being, you know, super prudish, you can be prudish in this safe space. That's not about sex. It's really about intimacy and trust. And I recognized how much we had built of that. I trusted you with secrets, with money, with, you know, I knew what kind of man you were. So even though this was hard, because I had seen who you were, and I also had seen who you were to your family and in your friend space, and that was important to me. We could share ideas. I could talk to you about weird shit that I like. You know, I'm not an odd person.
It was still worth it to you.
It was still worth it to me. It was still worth being able to talk to you about, you know, praying and also burning sage and crystals and all that stuff and not feel judged. I could let you into who I was and into a bit of my light and my darkness and not feel like you would be scared by any of it. And so that was important to me. So even in 2012, when I couldn't really see that anymore, I remembered it was there.
That's what I mean when I say big picture oriented, because when I'm lucid, I am big picture oriented, but I'm not often lucid. Very often, I'm not. I mean, that's real. I'm like, I'm, most of the time, I'm compromised. No bullshit. No bullshit.
MPC.
This is
Queen.
Baby, welcome to the party. I'm off the money to Zandaline. That's why I'm over retarded.
That's why I'm over
Baby, welcome to the party. I hit the boy up and then I go skating around.
And I'm an emotional being, you know, like we all are. Emotions are what they are. And if we have any control of them, over them, it is almost like a faucet. You know, we can kind of turn it to the left or to the right, you know, depending on our ability or capability at the time. So I tend to let the faucet flow. Because I don't know. I usually am. The emotion is coming first, and then kind of the lucidity,
right?
You know, you know, kind of molds it a bit. You know, with us, and with not just us, with all those things, it was through all of this bullshit Andrea is still the first person I want to talk to. She's still the first person I want to tell about this new case, you know, that I, how I did in court today, how I'm scared about this case I have tomorrow, about how the girls may perceive what I'm doing, about how I have a herniated disc and I don't, you know, I'm anxious about, you know, getting older, about all these things. Like, she's still the first person I want to tell all these things. She's still the woman that I saw dancing in a party to herself in 2009 in a whole room full of beautiful people. The only one I wanted to talk to. She's still that person. That's what kept me in that space with you.
And then you, I mean, we also would show up for each other in the oddest of ways. Like, it'd be like some random thing. I'd be like some random work event and you would show up. And it'd be something I would assume that you could not make. And you would show up.
Or the party downtown at the...
Or when you showed up at the bus thing when we went to... when I went to... the Circle Line with my job, and
then went
to Carmine's, and it was like, this man is still actively dating me, which is so strange, because he has obligations. And I think the thing that people didn't realize is, if you weren't with your kids, you were talking to me.
Oh, I know. I didn't know if you knew that, but I knew that.
I didn't at the time. I didn't realize how much time you were really putting
into us. I think I showed you a phone bill one time.
You showed me a phone bill one time. I was like, oh, shoot. It's interesting because over the years, like, so when you still lived in Queens, we would talk on your home phone, which was bananas.
Straight violation
of
side
the code.
Piece rules.
But I remember getting a BlackBerry so that we could BlackBerry Messenger, because I didn't have
a
BlackBerry. I got a BlackBerry so we could BBM. And
do you know that there are still criminals in the underground who exclusively use BlackBerries?
I can't even talk to you right now because they're the hardest
to hack into.
That's a real thing. I can't even talk to you right now.
They are the side piece mechanism of communication
of
choice.
It absolutely is.
And criminals.
And
go
criminals,
ahead.
Right.
I'm sorry,
because, you know, yeah, just one step, one 6 degree separation.
We're here.
Right. So, I mean, but think about it. Saturday we would text. And then your ex would go to church, air quotes, on Sunday. And we would spend all day Sunday on the phone.
Yeah, the church is a side piece.
Every day at work, we'd speak for at least an hour or two.
Yeah.
We would text after work. We would go out after work. We'd try to see each other like every other week.
We'd set up trysts.
We'd look forward to them, longingly forward to. And it'd be a whole thing. We'd get food and wine.
It'd be funny. I'd set it up from 3 weeks out. I'd be like, on the 13th.
I have a thing.
Of December.
Right. And we'd set up trips.
I'm
we would go away.
I'm going out with the work folks.
Right.
And I won't be back until 6 a.m. the next morning. All right, bye.
We would actually go away. Like, think about it. We went to Vegas a few times. Like, we would set up things because it was like, we about to date. Like, we doing this thing.
We never stopped dating.
We never stopped dating. We never stopped actively courting each other and, like, just trying to be spontaneous and trying new restaurants and, like, all over the city. Like, just kind of like, we're here.
But it was natural, too. You know, we had a, you know, we were like-minded about what was fun and what was appropriate, even in that uncomfortable space at times. And, like, you know, I realized that coming home from Georgia.
Yep.
Not realized, but I realized what I had to do. And then I realized that I wasn't doing it. And so I was fine with what happened, you know, and my family is a very loving, caring family. We got our bullshit. You know, everyone's calling me, you know, giving me advice. And I was like, you know what? None of you know, you know, just fine, cool. And they're my matriarchs and patriarchs, so it was fine. But I was like, everybody shut the fuck up. I know what I have to do. And, you know, we came back and we still had a year, and it was like we were just into the lease. And it was like, you know, this ain't working.
Yeah.
And I made a mistake. And I had this conversation, like, I made this mistake, you know? And that's when we first had the conversation about what her thoughts were about us moving there. But I told her, let us just be clear. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And she, I don't exactly remember what she said because, you know, we still had bad fights.
Yeah.
You know, for the next few months. I was asked by my ex on two or so dozen occasions, literally in those 2 years, what is your relationship with her? And my answer would be one of two things. It's none of your business, or yes, I still talk to her. I didn't say I'm going to have sex with her tomorrow. I didn't say that shit, but it was, this is none of your business. And my position was, I was indignant. You know, I remained indignant. That wasn't the most productive position, but it's how I felt. It was, you don't get to ask me shit. You lied about your situations, even when I caught you in them. And I lied too. Okay, fine. So you don't get to now require or demand full disclosure from me. And I'm not going to lie to you either, because I'm not a liar. I have lied. That sounds funny, but I'm not a liar. That sounds funny. I never said, I don't talk to Andrea anymore. We don't have any communication. And I would never say that.
But what's happening in the interim is social media wars between me and your ex. So yes, keyboard warriors.
Warriors.
So I'm posting something unbeknownst to me. So I'm posting something on Twitter because I had gotten into Twitter, I think, a little bit at the time and was off Facebook because we weren't connected on Facebook. But my Twitter account was open and Instagram didn't exist yet.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So I am posting something on Twitter, and what I'm not knowing is that she's kind of answering it. And I mean, and we're stalking each other, right?
You were following each other?
We weren't following each other, but we're stalking each other. So I'm following certain people, inspirational folks that I like, blah, blah, blah. And you're also on Twitter and you're seeing, you're like, yo, this is the weirdest shit. It's super kind of weird. Like a certain things you're doing is certain things she's doing. And it sounds like y'all are going back and forth.
It's like McDonald's posting on their, you know, M, and then Wendy's posting on their M.
It was
M,
really not supposed freaking to see crazy. It,
but it's billboards.
But and people are mutual. So right. It's like, yo, what the hell is happening? And, you know, she's building up her allies and I've got my whole crew and she's coming at Jason like, I know about this person and this person because she's
naming names
and it's insane. Yeah, so yeah. We are winding down to like 2013.
And I'm laughing. I'm sorry. And internally. And I shouldn't have been. It was childish. But I was like, would you just sit the fuck down? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We're close to 2013 and Jason is supposed to be moving out at a certain point. And
supposed to.
And then unfortunately she gets sick. So he now can't move. And you know, I'm at this point, I'm like, I'm so used to it. It's whatever.
And it's legitimate.
And it's legitimate. No, it's legitimate.
It really was like, but this was legitimate.
She's going to have whatever she's going to have done. And she emails me this time, not DM, whatever. She emails me. And the email consisted of like trying to kind of tell me that I was all sorts of wrong, which she wasn't wrong about, but she was also trying to kind of call me out about the type of person I was. And I was pissed. And Jason was like, you know, the one thing I'll never tell you to do is not to defend yourself. Like, you don't have to sit and take shit on my account. And I said, no, I think I'm just going to leave it alone because she's in a headspace right now. Lots going on. And I'm not going to bother to answer. And then she called my house. And she calls my house and leaves a message. And I lost my shit because I have a kid and my kid is old enough to answer the phone. So I wrote her back and I was like, let me tell you something. What we not gonna do is in any way do anything that could involve my kid. We not doing that. So let's not be calling each other's houses. And then I wrote an email back that was pretty much on some, we're not going to pretend that we don't know each other's business. We have stalked enough and talked enough and read enough to know what we know about each other. So while I am very wrong for being in your life, let's not pretend that I am the cause of your marriage being in jeopardy. She was right. You know what I mean? And now where I am in 2019, what the hell was I doing? You know what I mean? And all the space she's in and the headspace she's in and all the things. But you, at the time, I'm indignant because how dare you? And I'm on team Jason instead of team just right. And I'm not thinking about a woman in this space and who she is. And so while I sound brolic, and I was brolic at the time, now I'm like, all right, chick, you knew better and you know better, right? I had laid down for everyone. I had laid down for my ex and not gotten mad at shit I should have gotten mad at. I had laid down for Jason and I had been so bigger picture that at this point I was like, I am done. And no matter what happens right now, I'm going to say what I have to say. What I recognized was she doesn't have boundaries when it comes to doing things in front of her kids. So she's not going to protect my kid. I am going to protect my kid. This is not going to spill over on her. And I also recognize, dumbass, you made a choice. So if it spills over on your kid, this is your fault. It's not hers. But I was at a point where I felt so exposed and so vulnerable and like no one was protecting me that I decided, like, I'm going to dig in. Like, this has been a shitty year for me. I'm going through a divorce and no one is here for me. And so I was like, I'm going to say what I have to say and let the chips fall. And Jason was mad.
Yeah. And I wasn't angry at you defending yourself. I was angry because we had spoken about
it. Right. And the timing was horrible.
And if you would have said at the time, listen, this is what I'm going to do, I would have not asked you not to, but I would have been able to prepare.
Yep.
And so I thought we had discussed this.
Yep.
Even still, I still wasn't angry at you defending yourself. Like,
no,
I understand that. I wouldn't. Nobody is gonna say no dumb shit to me either. You know what I mean? So I understood it. I was never fully tuned in to your frustration.
Well, you weren't supposed to be. I'm not supposed to let you know.
And
that's a good side piece.
I also was not. Going to in my space at the time, I didn't have the capacity to be, you know. So if you're good, then we're good. If you're unhappy, honestly, then let's not do this.
Right.
You know. That's how I felt.
That's the bandwidth.
And
you
so,
have time.
You know, not that I didn't care, because I did, and I did at the time. But I chose to not focus on those things because I think it would have broken me. Like, I honestly, with everything that was going on, I was
like,
not far from a nervous breakdown.
Like,
no, but I was not far from a nervous breakdown. You know, like literally, like that is a real thing. People snap.
She responded to me after a day and was like, I'm sure you know what's going on with me and how dare you respond and blah, blah, blah. And I decided not to respond. And I was on a business trip and I hadn't heard from Jason for 3 days. And it was the longest we had ever gone without talking. And I was devastated and relieved. And the relief part was, at least I know what's going on. because I can't keep on with this the way it's going now. And I was crying it out, and I'm like, I probably won't hear from him again, but at least I know. Like, I know, and fine. And then this friggin' Negro calls.
Paradise, what they want for me. Shawty's never saw marital, vowing that it'll come for me.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.